Brethren, how many times a day do we become frustrated? Chances are it starts first thing in the morning. Think about these simple examples. You go to brush your teeth and the toothpaste is gone. Or there may be plenty of toothpaste left, but the person before you squeezed it from the top instead of the bottom. You may sit on the toilet, and the person before you forgot to put the toilet seat down. You may need to blow your nose after taking a shower to find that the last person to use the toilet paper never replaced it after using the last sheet. You may open the refrigerator to get your lunch for work. 5 different jars and 12 eggs fall out. Of course, the jar of peanut butter doesn't break. It's the 12 eggs. There's 5 frustrations. You haven't even left your house yet. I will tell you that these are some of the frustrations that Lori and I share. I won't tell you who causes the frustration for the other. I'll let you figure that out on your own. But on your way to work, the frustrations don't stop. You always get behind the slowest driver on the face of the earth, especially when you're already running late after cleaning up that 12 broken eggs. So finally, the slow driver turns, and you're headed through town on your way to work. Of course, the city can't synchronize the red lights, and you get every single one red. 2 more frustrations. You're not even at work yet. Now the real frustrations begin. It doesn't matter what your job is. We all have frustrations. Some may have more than others, depending on, you know, what your position is, what kind of people you work with, that type of thing. But we all have frustrations. I'll set the stage for a current frustration of mine by sharing a quote from Mark Twain. Mark Twain says, "Don't go around saying the world owes you anything. The world owes you nothing. It was here first." Brethren, we're living in a time of what I've come to call the entitlement age. I'm sure I didn't make this up myself. I'm sure I probably heard that someplace, but I can't tell you where. But we are. We are living in what we call the entitlement age. It truly captures the mentality of our society. We live in a society in which people expect everything, but take responsibility for nothing. I know that it can become frustrating to deal with the people that have this mentality. I see it every single day, whether it be with students, parents, teachers, or other administrators. How many times have you heard someone say, "I deserve this," or "I have a right to that"? People in general feel that they are entitled. And of course, it's our job to provide for that entitlement. I'll give you a school example, which I typically do when I speak. It's become the school's job to educate our children, which it's always been our job to do that, but now we have to raise them as well. It's become the government's job to ensure that the schools don't mess it up, constantly looking over our shoulders. The government now has to watch to ensure that we are not making our students fat by feeding them unhealthy foods. This past Wednesday, we had the news crew in our school, and they were doing a news story with the food service people, and the story was about all of the different changes in the food service program. Many, many, many different changes. One of the changes is we are no longer allowed to provide self-service for students for the condiment area, ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise, that type of thing. We now have to give them individual ketchup packets, and they only get so many depending on what the lunch is. Apparently, too many kids were going around eating ketchup and becoming obese. So now we have to control that. Brethren, I hope I'm not showing my frustrations as I read these, but they are my frustrations. We each have our own sources. We really do. We each have our own sources of frustrations. We interact with people. The more we interact with people, the more we watch the news, really the more we just go about our daily lives in society, the bigger chance we have of becoming frustrated. I know in Elmira we read the letter from Melvin Rhodes talking about the trials, how trials are going to increase more and more and more, especially as we approach the fall holy days. Well, with those trials comes frustrations. So we can expect that our frustrations will increase in the time before the feast. I think we all share frustrations when it comes to politics and government. Maybe one reason that God really doesn't want us to participate in the political system. Another Mark Twain quote, I have 3 of them in this sermonette. I don't know why he inspired me this week, but I was reading some of his quotes as I was preparing for my opening day stuff at school. Here's one of Mark Twain's quotes that I think really captures our government. He said, "No man's life, liberty, or property, no man's life, liberty, or property are safe while the Congress is in session." Is that ever true? Is that ever true? If you want to increase your level of frustration, if you don't have enough, watch the presidential campaign and all the political nightmares that go with it. That'll increase your frustration. There's no doubt that we will continue to become frustrated. There's no doubt about that. However, we can't help reduce our stress and frustration and our reaction to it by turning to God. My final Mark Twain quote will lead into the main point of the sermonette, which is, we need to seek God's wisdom. We need to seek God's wisdom so that when we do experience frustration, that we react appropriately. Mark Twain said this, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to be around the old man. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in just 7 years." Brethren, wisdom is not something we are born with, although many boys of the age of 14 may think that they are. As I said, I'm again going to be working with middle school students, and they think they know everything. Just ask them. They'll tell you. Brethren, wisdom is a gift from God. We need to ask for it. What exactly is wisdom? Well, as most of us do in preparing for things now, when we want to find something out, we go to Wikipedia. Because we all know that Wikipedia, everything on there is true, right? Well, not all of the time. You know that Wikipedia, any one of us can put information on Wikipedia. It's basically an encyclopedia that's created by the people that use it. So anytime we're using that, we have to be careful that we make sure that we cross-reference that information just to make sure that it's correct. But I think the definition of wisdom that they give on there is pretty accurate. The way they define wisdom is a deep understanding and a realization of people, of things, of events, and situations. An understanding of them. And then that results in our ability to apply perceptions, judgments, and actions in keeping with that understanding. Now, I know that's a wordy definition, but it goes on. It says it requires control of one's emotional reactions. So when you have wisdom, you're able to control your emotional reactions so that universal principles, reason, and knowledge prevail. Wisdom is also the comprehension of what is true, coupled with optimum judgment as to action. Basically, if we have wisdom, we are able to understand people, events, and situations. Not only do we understand those people, events, and situations, we have the ability to control our emotions based on universal principles, knowledge, and reason. With wisdom, we can react appropriately to all of those frustrations, whether it's before you leave the house, on the way to work, or the many, many frustrations we get when we go to work. We need God's wisdom because it gives us the ability to reason and react, not by the laws of this society, but by His laws. We need to be careful that we don't react in an ungodly manner when we are frustrated, mainly by people. We have a responsibility to be different. We know that we will be judged according to our works, and we must ensure that our works align with what God expects. Obtaining God's wisdom will help us in that feat. Wisdom is a gift from God that we need to thankfully accept. I'm going to break all kinds of sermonette rules, as I typically do, and I'm going to give you a list of scriptures. I'm not going to turn there, but the purpose of giving you these four scriptures is just to point out that wisdom is a gift from God, that it's something that we receive from God. So the first scripture is James 3:17. James 3:17. And here it says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven..." The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good, impartial, and sincere. Again, the wisdom that comes from heaven. The next one is Exodus 28, verse 3. Exodus 28, verse 3. It says, "Tell all the skilled workers to whom I have given wisdom." Again, we read that wisdom has been given. Deuteronomy 34:9 in Deuteronomy. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid hands on him. And then the final scripture, there's many, many, many more, but I figured these four would give us some insight to show us that wisdom truly is a gift from God. Daniel 2:23. It says, I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might. Brethren, God wants us to have wisdom, and therefore He instructs us to ask for it. And we read about that in James 1:5. James 1:5, God tells us to ask for wisdom. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. We know that wisdom is a gift from God, and He wants us to ask for it. Much of our frustration occurs because of our interactions with a situation, with an event, or with a person. If we react in negative ways to people, events, or situations, and with a poor and ungodly attitude, we're likely to experience more frustration. If we react in accordance with God's laws, we are likely to approach the situation, whether it's a negative situation, a frustration, in a much more positive way, with a godly attitude. And therefore, hopefully the frustration is reduced. As all the administrators do in our district, and probably most districts in the summer, we usually have a 3 to 4 day workshop. One of the things that we talked about this year is the different types of personalities. The type A personality versus the type B personality. Many of you probably are familiar with the differences between them. The major characteristics of somebody with a type A personality, they tend to be impulsive, they tend to be impatient, they want to solve problems, and they want to solve problems right now. They don't want to wait. As we were sitting at our table, myself and my assistant principal, and we were all talking about, you know, what type of personality are you? What type of personality are you? For some reason, everybody at our table assumed that my assistant principal and I are not type A, not type B, but type A plus. We tend to go a little bit overboard, which I guess is, you know, part of the nature of what we do. They pay us to make decisions. Sometimes you have to make decisions very quickly. Lori will tell you about a decision I made to move a shed. I don't know if I shared that with everybody, but we had a shed in our backyard, and I didn't like where it was, so I wanted to move it. So I had this bright idea. It really seemed good at the time that, you know, I would hook some chains to it, and we had a 4-door Jeep Wrangler at the time. And it was real meaty on the bottom. It had 4x4, so I figured we'd hook a chain to it, and we'd pull it to where I wanted to move it to. So I hooked the chain up to it, and I started pulling, and the thing wasn't moving. So I said, Lori, we need more power. So I told her, you take your Jeep Cherokee, you get on the other side, and you push while I'll pull. So we were on our cell phones, and I said, I'm going to call you. When I tell you to push, you start pushing. So she starts pushing, I start pulling, I rip the whole front of the shed off. Type A personality. Impulsive, impatient. What I should have done was put rollers underneath it, but no, there's not time for that. It's got to be moved now. So type A personality, good and bad. Wisdom helps us to overcome the reactionary, aggressive, and rude behaviors. Now, one of the things that they always used to say is that people with type A personality are more prone to heart attacks and strokes, which tends to be true. But thankfully, they did some more research and found out that it's not the type A personality, but the people that are rude and aggressive along with the type A personality. Thankfully, the people at our table agreed that Rance and I, my assistant principal, didn't have that characteristic. We were type A, but we weren't rude and aggressive. So thankfully, they thought that. So therefore, I think we are safe, at least for now, from heart attacks and strokes. Hopefully. But wisdom helps with that. Wisdom helps us to overcome that reactionary, aggressive, and rude behavior. We know that we are to be the light of the world. We read that in Matthew 5:14. We've read it many times. But if we are to be the light of the world, we can't react negatively to our frustrations. People are watching us. They're watching our behaviors. They watch the way we react. In Matthew 5:16, again, another one we know very well, it tells us that God tells us that He is going to judge us by doing good deeds. And by doing good deeds, we glorify Him. We need to ensure, brethren, that we are glorifying God. And therefore, we must react in accordance with God's laws and commandments when we become frustrated. I think it's fair to say that the majority of our frustrations come from the interactions that we have with people. We know we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, and therefore we have to treat them respectfully, despite whether or not they frustrate us. We're constantly dealing with what God would call fools. And I would dare say that most of the fools are the ones that are causing us our frustrations. God understands fools. He understands that they're not willing to listen to instruction. So it doesn't matter how much we want to change their minds, we're probably not going to do it. God tells us they do not listen to knowledge. They do not listen to instruction. God understands that fools will not listen. And He even asks him, when will you become wise? In Psalm 94, verse 8, Psalm 94:8 is where God asks that question of fools. It says, understand, you senseless among the people, and you fools, when will you become wise? Brethren, we do need to understand that the fools cause many of our frustrations, and we're not to engage with them, because we're probably not going to change their mind anyhow. God understands that. We also need to understand that. We are to seek wisdom from God so that we may interact with people in a godly manner. Whether they frustrate us or not, we have to interact with them in a godly manner. We have to love our neighbor. We have to be the light to the world. God has taught us how to behave. He's given us a great example, that example being Jesus Christ. I'd like to close in Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 through 7. Here it says, surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all of these statutes and say, surely, this is a great nation. It is a nation that is wise and has understanding people. Brethren, let us be wise and be an understanding people.